Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm excited because next week I've got a very special podcast coming up and a very special guest. It's hard to believe, but we've got episode 500 of Worldview Matters next week. It's just really unbelievable. It just doesn't feel like it is even possible. But anyway, I do want to mention before I bring in another guest who's coming to Green Bay March 1st and 2nd and speaking at the Worldview Matters Conference, I want to shout out to some recent sponsors that have jumped on board to partner with us. And I just really want to thank some people. First of all, the major sponsors, we're so thankful for Harbinger's Daily News, Legacy Church in New Mexico, Creative Edge Productions, Freedom Project Academy, The Family Radio Network, and His Sword Ministries. We got a brand new one, a major sponsor, Alpha Omega Gold. They're Christian owned and operated. And they're such, David and the team, they're such a wonderful group to work with. So they're all behind the Worldview Matters Conference. And then I want to scroll down to the bottom and just mention, there's a couple brand new ones, Wisconsin Christian News. So shout out to Rob Pugh and Kelsey Studebaker and Training Godly Warriors. So a lot more coming on board. We're trying to get the logos up. It's a good problem to have that we're running out of space there, but we're going to make it happen, make it work. Anyway, today I want to give you the website. He's back, GaryKa.org. And him and Audrey have been traveling around, not only just nationally, but internationally as well. And we're so blessed that he is going to be at the Worldview Matters Conference in Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Gary, thanks for your time today. Appreciate you working us in.
You bet. It's always good to be with you, David. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And before we get into the topic, you've sent out another newsletter. You've got some great articles. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just where have you been traveling to? What's going on with the body of Christ? And what's going on out there for people that don't do a lot of traveling?
Well, we've been to Costa Rica, New York, and Florida, sharing. A lot of doors open right now. We've been struggling to try to be at home a little bit more because of some things we need to take care of on the home front. But with everything going on in the world right now, you can imagine, and this Iran war seems to have kicked things into fast motion. And so we're staying very, let's say we have a very full life right now between heading up Hope for the World ministries, writing deadlines, talk shows, and taking care of my 94-year-old father, who, as many of your listeners already know, he's a World War II survivor. Wow. And he just he keeps going, and we're taking good care of him, and we love him to pieces. So a lot of good things going on. And then coming up, before I'm even at the Green Bay conference, right before that, I'm speaking over in Lima, Ohio at a conference, then back to Costa Rica for a pastor's conference where I speak a couple of times, then Green Bay, and then Buffalo, New York, and then Estonia, which is hopefully the airports aren't closed. The way things are going, is what's going to happen. But right now, tentatively, a trip to Estonia, which has its hands full right now. The people there they're keeping a real eye on the border situation with Russia and everything, but a strong group of Christian believers there that are growing and that are watching the signs of the times and trying to be discerning. And so hopefully that will work out. So in a nutshell, that's it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're busy, in demand, and I'm praising God that the people I get to talk to on this program, they're pretty busy, and that's a good thing because we're talking about solid men and women of God, Bible-believing remnant believers, I should say, and it's sad that it's more of the minority with the true biblical worldview and Bible-believing Christians. But Gary, you mentioned before we got on, I don't want to get the cat out of the bag, but you got a new article coming out that you're sending out about Iran, what's going on there. Can you tease that a little bit, or can you talk a little bit about that before we jump into globalism, socialism, communism, the fun things that are going on?
Yeah, we just got this off to print yesterday. And so those of you who are subscribers, it'll go in the mail next week. Those of you who get it electronically, it went out yesterday. And I just see a lot of developments as a result of the Iran conflict. And it's interesting, the people who have most openly come against the president on this have been people associated with what increasingly is being called the Red-Green Alliance. Really a strange kind of alliance between socialism, communism on the one hand, and Islamist radicals on the other. And if you look at the protests going on around the United States, you've got Marxists and Islamists together, and oftentimes also marching with proponents of the LGBTQ movement. So really, it's kind of a three-legged alliance that has taken shape. And, you know, and then on top of that, we just found out, and I put this in my article, on February 12th, Zohran Mamdani and Jacob Frey, who's the mayor of Minneapolis, those two mayors announced that they are going to be building a quote-unquote coalition of mayors. So you have to ask, what's that all about? Yeah. And if you know what they've already been up to, you have to conclude that this is going to be an effort to hinder everything, anything that the Trump administration and ICE do to prevent evildoers from taking down the United States. I mean, because, you know, they're more in line with the Marxist Islamist elements, and the current administration is trying to get those out of the country, and yet they're doing everything they can to block their efforts and the efforts of ICE. So the battle isn't over. It's unfortunately just beginning, I believe. And so we all need to remain very prayerful and vigilant. The longer this war goes on and the more people that turn against the administration in the war, I think it's going to feed into this movement. And you even have an increasing number of people from the right now saying, you know what, if it wasn't for Israel, we wouldn't be in this war. Mm-hmm. And so the things get, the more difficult they get. And if there are terrorist attacks on the home front in a major way, so far we've seen some smaller stuff. But if there's a major loss of life and the frequency increases, I think we're going to see a major increase in anti-Semitism and just a blaming of pretty much everything on the Jews and Israel. And it does seem like history is beginning to repeat itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? And obviously one of the reasons that things are ramping up and things are intensifying is because of the spiritual dynamic, the warfare, the enemies of God, they are relentless. And I want to ask you something you said, you mentioned Mamdani. It's almost hard for a lot of people our age and older to believe that this could be one of the signs of the times that in America, progressive and socialist leaning candidates are now emerging in cities and states in elections nationwide, not just in New York. This is concerning, Gary. I don't think a lot of us saw this coming. Your thoughts?
Well, New York has increasingly gone far left, and even before the election, it looked like the globalists, Marxists, were going to get at least 40% of the vote, and they did. And it ended up not even being close. Some people say it was a close election. Actually, it wasn't. He won by 8 or 9%. Wow. And so in the large cities where you have a higher percentage of people that are left-leaning, in most cases, in a three-way race, they have a really good possibility of winning. Because they only need maybe 40%, maybe in some cases even 37 or 38% in places like Seattle, which just recently elected another far left mayor. And Miami, Florida, which was under a strong Republican mayor, picked a Democrat recently who won by landslide. Now, that mayor is not as far left. And thankfully, because of the Cuban population there and the people that fled from Cuba in the previous generation, Miami has a pretty conservative, patriotic element of Cubans and Latinos. But still, this new mayor won in a big way. And so I think they're really targeting. I think their strategy is to target the big cities in the United States. They realize they can't capture the rural vote. And so cities like Atlanta, Phoenix, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, Chicago, and others, a good part of New England, this is where they're focusing because I believe they feel if they can take those big cities, it's going to be more and more difficult to oppose them effectively. And each of the swing states has at least one, in almost every case, it's really just one big city like Phoenix and Arizona, Atlanta and Georgia. If they can win by a large margin in elections in those cities, then they can even begin to dictate what governors get in and influence the national elections as well. And so we're really coming down to the wire on this. And so every move that Trump makes is going to be scrutinized and it's going to have an influence on the midterm. So I genuinely hope that this Iran war turns out well and that oil prices go down quickly because if they don't, if this drags on for a couple of months, we're going to head into the fall with a significantly damaged economy. And that's not going to help the votes for the conservative cause. They're going to swing the other way. And then you're looking at a Congress controlled by the liberal far left, and that's not good. So, in a nutshell, it's a lot more complicated than that, but in a nutshell, what I see taking place.
Thanks for condensing that. With our limited time, it's just good to get the bullet points and the big picture. You talked about the Red-Green Alliance, communism and Islam. You mentioned the LGBTQ and how, what strange bedfellows, especially with Islam and Queers for Palestine, things like that. It seems like there's just this delusion and there's these things that they're all anti-God. What do they all have in common? They're anti-God, anti the Judeo-Christian worldview. So they're kind of all teaming up and working together. And we're almost seeing this across the board. So we shouldn't be surprised, but we need to be discerning, right?
Right. Yeah, we have to conclude that the only reason why they're allying themselves together would be to take down the U.S. and whatever is left of our Judeo-Christian worldview. Now, the good thing is there are pockets of revival taking place in the United States, especially among college students. Some of it's coming through groups like Fellowship of Christian Athletes and so forth. But it's still, even with some of those revivals going on, like at Ohio State University a couple months ago, I think there were like 2,000 kids that got baptized in one day. I mean, stuff like that is happening, but it's still a minority. You're looking at maybe this is happening among 5 or 10% of American young people that are shifting back toward more of a conservative biblical worldview. I saw a survey, it was actually just yesterday, I think, that the current generation now, in terms of going to church and how often they go to church, is outpacing baby boomers. That was a shock to me, actually. But it was like 20 to 30% in that range. So that still means a vast majority of Gen Zers are not going in that direction. So the good news is there is something going on, movement toward accepting Christ, but by far the greatest majority still is on the other side of all of this. And so we have to just keep plugging away day by day and not give up and be obedient to the Lord. And whoever comes to accept Christ and whose eyes are opened, praise God for that. But it's not going to be a majority. I mean, when you look at the Bible, we have to, is that on the whole, things are going to keep going downhill. There may be moments of reprieve, but on the whole, things aren't going to get a whole lot better between now and the return of Jesus because the Bible makes clear it's going to require his return to make things right. It's only going to be he ultimately who can completely change things and who will bring in world peace and his millennial reign. Anyway.
Yep, there's so many interesting things going on at the same time. Some are conflicting, some absolutely make sense. Like we mentioned Gen Z, and although since the assassination of Charlie Kirk in particular, more in that group, Gen Z are either seeking, going to church, buying Bibles, interested in spiritual things, And maybe they are going to church, maybe more of them are. But at the same time, I just saw this, I think over at the Washington Stand, this article that only 1% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview, a true biblical worldview. So that's really concerning, because this is the younger generation, right?
Right. Just going to church, even going to church semi-regularly, doesn't mean that you're a born-again Bible-believing Christian. You have to ask what is being taught in these churches.
Amen.
And in my article, I tackled some of this. Specifically, you look at virtually every mainline Protestant denomination belonging to the World Council of Churches holds a very strong replacement theology view of Scripture, which generally means that they don't take any type of literal view of biblical prophecy, of end time biblical prophecy, which really sets them up for deception, because they've tried to explain away any warnings in the Bible regarding our generation and the end times of deceptions that would be taking place. And they pretty much think that anything that happens today can be explained away as simply being symbolic metaphors or descriptions of events that have already taken place in the distant past. And so that lines up kind of with the warning of Jesus in Matthew 24, who said that even the elect might be deceived in the end, things would become that deceptive. And so, again, almost all of the mainline churches, your member churches of the WCC, the World Council of Churches, that's where they're coming from. And I mentioned in my article, I said, isn't it interesting that the World Council of Churches has received huge funding from the globalist Rockefeller Foundation, in fact, right from their very beginning, and that they are moving toward unity with the Vatican, which would result in a worldwide church movement denying the validity of prophetic scripture. So there's this false unity taking shape, and it's not a Bible-based unity.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of these young people that are allegedly coming to Christ, you know, are they Bible-believing Christians, or are they just Christians in name only and are way out there in some of their beliefs? Just another thing I want to throw out there, because this ties in with what's going on and the growing anti-Semitism in the U.S. The World Council of Churches member churches have also led the political charge against Israel through their support of the BDS movement, which stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions Movement. This is an international campaign aimed at delegitimizing and pressuring Israel and really any Jewish individuals and organizations that support Israel's right to exist. And this is coming right from the heart of so-called Christianity through many of these member denominations of the World Council of Churches. And the same people generally hold in contempt those Christians who are foolish enough to embrace a literal premillennial prophetic interpretation of Scripture, which generally is also supportive of Israel, at least Israel's right to exist. So a lot of these global events are interfacing, and things are beginning to make sense to discerning Christians, why certain groups are doing this and other groups are doing that. And it's almost like the battle lines are being drawn. And in the United States, you know, honestly, we're not that far away. And I hate to even use these words, but it's true. We're not that far away from the potential of a civil war. We've seen civil unrest. It's been going on for a while now, becoming more and more violent. Those on the right, they haven't really fired back or done anything, but the left is becoming increasingly militant. And so how is all this going to play out? You know, how bad will it get before things become more violent on both sides? And the thing that people ask me about this all the time, how do you see this playing out? Well, during the Civil War in the 1800s, you kind of had the North versus the South. And even though there are people that disagreed and weren't all in the camp in either place, you know, geographically, it kind of made sense. The lines were drawn. This time, you've got people all over the country, mainly in your large cities, who are at great odds with the average American out there in flyover country, as they call it, who has some common sense left. And they just think that, you know, the people on the far left have totally lost their marbles. And so somehow or another, this is going to come to a head.
Well, what's interesting is even in a place like where maybe in Indiana or Wisconsin, outside of the big cities, in the counties or the smaller towns, we're at least we in this area, we're kind of split. So even in the smaller towns or the less populated areas, there are people that are on the left and then there are people on the right. So it's very interesting. So absolutely, it'd be fascinating to see that kind of divide and not a civil war, but that kind of warfare. I want to get back to your article, though. The title of it is intriguing. When you said religious fallout, are you talking about the division over Israel, anti-Semitism, or is it more than that?
I use that as a starting point because that's very visible. We can see that taking place, and it's increasing. And then beyond that, it goes into an all-out attack of the Judeo-Christian worldview, which, of course, is what you're all about, is exposing that and taking a stand, you know. So I think those who are opposed to us are using potential fallout from this war and really using it to attack Christian, anything Jewish, and then anyone among Christianity that has any kind of support for the Jewish people and not wanting to see them persecuted, you know. And so that's kind of where the lines are being drawn. I might mention here Tucker Carlson. I bring him up in the article. I'm going to take a lot of heat with this article because we're touching on a lot of things. It's a six pager. But anyway, I brought up the fact that this gets into Christian denominationalism, you know, the Protestant churches that belong to the World Council of Churches. And one of the founding member churches was the Episcopal Church, that is very much into replacement theology and rejects a premillennial worldview. Well, Tucker happens to be part of the Episcopal Church, and so he's been brought up and trained in that worldview. I mean, that would be the natural view that he would hold. So he doesn't come from an evangelical Christian background that would have a more literal interpretation of Bible prophecy. And so he's an example of a Christian believer, but who just doesn't get the, you know, any of the end time Bible prophecies and the significance of Israel in all of that. And it doesn't mean we have to support Israel in everything they do by no stretch. If anything is being done that's wrong by the Israeli government, we are not obligated to automatically support them in anything. However, we do need to understand that God does still have a plan and a purpose for the Jewish people as a people group, as a whole. And when he returns, you know, many prophecies in scripture talking about his return, but in Zechariah chapter 14, it says that he will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives and then go out and fight against the forces, the armies gathered around Jerusalem to try to defeat them. And in Revelation, that battle is described as the Battle of Armageddon, which everybody's heard about that. But the Old Testament talks about it as well, just not using that name. But it describes a battle where all the armies of the world surround Jerusalem, coming against it, trying to destroy it. And at that time, Christ returns. And so to deny that, you have to throw out so much of scripture, and then you end up really going against Israel on almost everything that they do. And you end up in a really bad place because then that caters and helps build a foundation for anti-Semitism and attacking any Christians that support the Jews on anything. And so, again, these battle lines are being drawn, and an increasing number of people on the far right now are starting to move in this direction. So now things are really getting interesting because you have those on the far left, the Marxists, the globalists, the LGBTQ movement, your Islamists that have joined together that we talked about at the outside of the program, ending up taking on some of the same anti-Jewish, anti-Israel views that those on the far right are coming into as well, and they're coalescing. And so strange bedfellows, you know, at least on that issue. It's really almost unbelievable what's happening.
So very interesting, Gary. So we just have a few minutes left, but I just did want to get back to one poll that's very fascinating about America and the, I guess, the support for socialism. And it's growing among two groups in particular, young people and Democrats. So surprise, surprise, right? But in this one poll, it says 43% of Americans view socialism favorably, and then support rises to 62% in the age group of 18 to 29. Now, we remember when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary Clinton and all the Sanders supporters, right? So we shouldn't be surprised, but 62%, 18 to 29, and overall, 43%, some say 39, between 39 and 43. But still, this is a far cry from where our grandparents and great-grandparents grew up in the America, in the freedom-loving, capitalistic society of America, right?
Right, and just to support that poll, I saw that one as well. And I saw another one that you're more, I put them in the category of hardline socialists, that statistic grew from 32% to 38% in the 4 years of the Biden administration. So again, and then if, like you said, you have others that are showing 43% that would entertain that, maybe even more. And so it comes back to these big cities. If you have that kind of support in a three-way race, they're going to win a lot of those races and start controlling our big cities. And why is that important? Well, those big cities then increasingly are becoming sanctuary cities, and they're protecting really criminal, illegal aliens. And I heard one statistic, I want to get it right. I think it was something like 3,000 potential pedophiles and child molesters and people involved in the sex trade in the state of Minnesota. And a lot of that taking place because these kinds of criminals have been harbored in the Twin Cities under the banner of, sanctuary cities. So the last thing we want to see happen in this country is cities like Nashville and Indianapolis and Dallas and Denver, you know, harboring these kinds of people who are going to take down our country. So we really need to be prayerful and vigilant and remember that Jesus really is our only hope. Every Jew, every Gentile in the world needs Jesus, period. And without, things aren't going to get any better.
Amen, brother. Hope for the world. I want to give Gary's website one more time. Just simply Gary Kah, KAH.org. Brother, thank you. We will see you in Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, David. God bless you.
God bless you, friends, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.